Today is Friday, July 10th. We'll explain the Supreme Court's latest landmark ruling. This time it's all about President Trump's tax returns. And the search is on for a celebrity who mysteriously disappeared. Plus, we'll tell you the newest campaign plans and promises from both 2020 presidential candidates, what will be different about another 90s show reboot, and Disney World reopens this weekend with some changes. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. It looks like President Trump will have to hand over his tax returns and other financial records to prosecutors. The Supreme Court's latest landmark ruling means every citizen, even the president in office, must provide evidence if it's part of a criminal investigation. The New York Times calls it a major statement on the limits of presidential power. Remember, prosecutors in New York City have been looking into how the president spent his money in the run-up to the 2016 election. There have been questions about whether the Trump Organization falsified business records to cover up alleged hush money payments to two women who had claimed they had affairs with Trump. So back in August, prosecutors formally asked to see the tax documents as part of that investigation. But Trump has refused to provide them. In fact, he's the only president to keep his tax records private. And in this case, he says he has presidential immunity. But that last part is where the Supreme Court disagrees. In a 7-2 decision, justices wrote the law applies to everyone, and 8 years of financial records are now fair game. For prosecutors, at least. Not necessarily lawmakers. In a separate ruling, the Supreme Court put a hold on subpoenas from Congress, suggesting maybe lawmakers overreached in their efforts to get a hold of them, too. So what happens next? Congress could end up requesting fewer documents and bring the case back to a lower court. But even if that does happen, the Washington Post reports it's unlikely Congress or the public will see those records before the November election. The White House press secretary called the decision a victory for the president, but Trump himself did not seem to agree. The president tweeted he was the victim of a political witch hunt, and he's being treated worse than other presidents. As for Democrats in the House, they're calling yesterday's rulings the best they could have hoped for. Both lawmakers and New York prosecutors are expected to keep investigating. So you probably know by now the number of new COVID-19 cases is going up, yet the number of deaths from the disease has been on the decline. Unfortunately, in some places, that seems to be changing now. The LA Times reports the average daily death toll has more than doubled recently in three states: Texas, Florida, and Arizona. And there's one thing all three states have in common. They were among the first to ease restrictions back in May. That might not be the only reason we're seeing the trend, though. The AP reports California is also a virus hotspot right now. The state was once seen as a model for how to contain COVID-19 because it was the first to issue a statewide stay-at-home order back in March. But things shifted after Memorial Day weekend. Some experts point to big beach gatherings and mass protests. But it's tough to know the reason for sure. What is clear, the South and West are seeing the biggest surges, while states in the Northeast, like Maine, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and New York, are doing much better. Overall, though, we have a long way to go before this virus is under control in the U.S. President Trump's next rally is set for this weekend in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. But just like the last campaign event, there are some concerns because of, you guessed it, COVID-19. This time, New Hampshire's Republican governor says he won't be going to the rally. Governor Chris Sununu said because of the coronavirus, he doesn't go into big crowds anymore and he will not be making an exception for the Trump event. Trump had stayed off the campaign trail from March until June, but last month he started up again with in-person rallies. The first event was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, now Tulsa's health director is saying that event likely contributed to a surge in new COVID-19 cases there. However, there are some differences that could make the rally in New Hampshire safer than the one in Oklahoma. For starters, instead of indoors with seats close together, the New Hampshire venue is mostly outdoors, which has better airflow and might allow people to spread out more. Also, New Hampshire's average number of new cases has been going down. That wasn't the case in Tulsa. One thing that won't change, though, masks are still optional. The Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden says he has a plan to create 5 million new jobs in the U.S. He seems to be going after one of President Trump's strongest issues in polling, the economy. Here's at least part of Biden's plan. The federal government would invest $400 billion in the manufacturing industry. Another $300 billion would go to research and development in other industries like technology. Biden's aides say the overall package is meant to help the country recover from the pandemic recession ASAP. But more than that, Biden says it's not enough to build back, but quote, we have to build back better. As Fox News says, this comes in direct competition with President Trump's America First promise. Trump has emphasized protecting American workers and moving away from a global economy. Now Biden could be trying to win over those working class voters who went for Trump in 2016. Election Day is less than 4 months away. All right, it's time for a quick break, but instead of a sponsor today, I have a little favor to ask. If you enjoy The Newsworthy, would you take just a couple of minutes to help nominate us for a podcast award? I love these awards because it's all people's choice, meaning you, the listener, the person we care most about, gets to decide who gets nominated. And it would just be fun to celebrate this award alongside our 3-year anniversary of the show coming up in September. We also love it because it might help more people learn about us and stay informed daily. So nominate The Newsworthy and support us by going to podcastawards.com, click the Nominate My Favorite Podcast link, and then choose The Newsworthy in two categories, People's Choice as well as Politics and News. It's pretty simple once you see it. We'll also put a link in today's episode notes in your podcast app. Again, go to podcastawards.com, choose The Newsworthy in the People's Choice and the Politics and News categories, and that's it. Voting is only open this month, so the sooner the better. Thank you so much for your support. Now, back to the news. Americans are especially stressed out right now, and new research proves it. A new Cleveland Clinic study shows more and more people are getting what's called broken heart syndrome. That's when part of the heart enlarges following intense emotional stress. It's technically called stress cardiomyopathy and can feel like a heart attack. The study looked at 2 Ohio hospitals and found the number of cases doubled compared to before the pandemic. None of the patients tested positive for COVID-19 either, so the virus itself doesn't seem to be to blame. That said, this was a small study and critics have questions about how it was conducted, so more research is needed. The promising news, though, the syndrome is usually treatable and patients often recover within a month or two. An actress who once starred on the TV show Glee has mysteriously vanished and is now presumed dead. Naya Rivera, who played Santana Lopez on the show, disappeared after a boating trip on Wednesday. Search crews looked for her all day yesterday, but returned with bad news. Law enforcement officers said they believe Rivera drowned in a Southern California lake. They aren't sure exactly what happened. They just know she rented a boat with her 4-year-old son, and a few hours later, a rental employee found only the little boy on board. He is safe and healthy, but no sign of his mom. Search crews will be out again today, but it's become more of a recovery mission now, just so her family can have some closure. The hit show The Wonder Years is getting a reboot. The award-winning TV show was super popular in the late 80s and early 90s, but this time around, the reboot will have a whole new cast. It'll feature a black family instead of a white one. An Oscar-nominated producer and director Lee Daniels has signed on to help create it for ABC. Right now, The Hollywood Reporter says the goal is to have the show ready for the 2021-22 television season. But Walt Disney World is set to reopen in Florida this weekend. The theme park complex has been closed for nearly 4 months because of COVID-19, but as of tomorrow, it's back, just with a different atmosphere. Only the Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom parks will open, and visitors will have to undergo fever checks and wear masks. On top of that, no Mickey Mouse. The AP reports meet and greets with characters are off limits, and there will be no fireworks shows or parades. Still, the reopening is a pretty big deal. CNN reports Disney World's Magic Kingdom Resort is the most popular theme park in the world. The 2 other Disney World parks, Epcot and Hollywood Studios, are set to reopen next week. A huge celebrity golf tournament starts today. We're talking about the American Century Championship in Lake Tahoe. Big-name celebrities are teeing off, like basketball stars Steph Curry and Charles Barkley, football players Aaron Rodgers and Jerry Rice, and boxing great Oscar De La Hoya. And with that lineup, the event is a fan favorite. But this year, Bleacher Report says spectators are not allowed on the course, though people will probably be watching from boats since the 17th hole backs right up to Lake Tahoe. Of course, you can also watch on TV. The tournament will be covered on both NBC and the Golf Channel. It seems billionaire Warren Buffett is making good on his promise to give away most of his wealth. This year alone, he's donated another $2.9 billion to charity. But to be clear, he's not handing out cold hard cash. Instead, he's donating his Berkshire Hathaway stock. In all, the 89-year-old has donated roughly $37.5 billion in the last 14 years. And he has plenty left to spare. Forbes magazine says Buffett is still worth $71.5 billion. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, where we bring you one extra feel good or positive news story before the weekend. And Feel Good Friday is brought to you by Magic Spoon, the guilt-free cereal that has 0 sugar and 11 grams of protein in each serving. and I just tried the limited time Nutty Box with the peanut butter flavor. It is my new favorite. So get yours, try it out at magicspoon.com/newsworthy and use the code newsworthy to get free shipping. All right, so today we're talking about a WNBA star who put her career on hold to free an innocent man from prison. Maya Moore was at the height of her basketball career, but sat out the past two seasons so she could fight to free Jonathan Irons and even pay his legal fees along the way. Irons was convicted as a teenager of burglary and assault and sentenced to 50 years in prison. The problem is, lawyers say there was no physical evidence to tie him to the crime, and Irons had always maintained his innocence. Then earlier this month, Moore's hard work paid off. After 23 years in prison, a judge overturned his conviction, and Irons walked out a free man. Of course, Moore was there to greet him on the other side. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. And a special thanks to the Newsworthy Insiders. We so appreciate your support. And we'll be back with another news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.